You'll take your Bible this morning and turn to I'll give you about a half an hour to find it, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. All right, just go to the middle of your Bible and start going back east. All right, going to the left. Don't head west. Habakkuk chapter 2 this morning. When you all get it, just look up here. And then I'll read. In George, in Spanish, it's Habakkuk. All right, just sometimes in the Spanish Bibles, the names are a little different. Is it Habakkuk or is it Habakkuk? All right, Habakkuk chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1, where the prophet is speaking, Habakkuk is speaking. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to say what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and shall not lie, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up in is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your precious word, Lord. How precious it is that you would love us so much that not only would you give your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross, so that through faith and believing in him we might be saved, but Lord, that you would give us your word, Lord, not the word of men, but the very word of God. And Lord, we pray this morning that you speak to our hearts and teach us and strengthen us, encourage us, establish us in thee, O God. Glorify yourself right now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If I were to ask you to, without looking at your Bible this morning, to finish this phrase, I'm sure you all very well could. It's found three times in the New Testament, Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, I believe. It is Hebrews 10 and verse 36. And it says, the just shall live by, say it again, the just shall live by, but I want to call your attention to this morning, Habakkuk chapter 2. Paul writes three times in the New Testament, and uses that phrase, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith. In Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says some people don't have faith. But the Bible says the just shall live by faith. But Habakkuk here is, God has given him a burden. God has shown him how God is going to use the Chaldeans to do God's work, a work of reproving in the life of Israel. And the burden is very grievous to Habakkuk. And he's overwhelmed with it. And he's just concerned with this burden. And he cries unto God in chapter 1. And he says, Lord, you can't even, you're purer eyes than to behold evil. And how are you allowing the Chaldeans to overcome Israel? And how are you allowing the unjust to rule over the just and all of this? And he's speaking with God, talking with God. And then in chapter 2, he says, I'm going to wait for God. Notice what he says in verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will wait to see what he will say unto me. And so Habakkuk says, he pours out his complaint unto God and his questions unto God. And then he says, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to wait for what God says to me. And then the Bible says in verse number 2, the Lord answered me. The Lord answered me. And when you read down through chapter 2, down to verse number 4, the Lord says, I've given you a burden. I've given you a vision. Write it down. Write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And God says, I've given you the burden. I've given you the vision. I write it down. It's going to happen, just as I said. And then the Lord says something to Habakkuk, which I believe wholeheartedly the Lord wants you and me to hear this morning. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up in him, it lifted up is not in right, upright, but the just shall live by his faith. And you know what the Lord is saying to Habakkuk? The Lord is saying to Habakkuk, I gave you a vision. I gave you the burden for what I am going to do. I want you to write it down. I want you to put it out there. It's going to happen. And in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Lord is saying to Habakkuk the prophet, trust me. Trust me. And that's what the Lord's telling us this morning. Trust me. Trust God. You know what's interesting, and the reason I go to Habakkuk chapter 2, is because when I ask you to say that phrase, the just shall live, how's it go? The just shall live? Check out, exactly. Check out verse number 3. You see, when God speaks to Habakkuk, he's speaking to him personally. And he not only says the just shall live by faith, but personally to Habakkuk, God says the just shall live by his faith. And this morning I want to encourage you about your faith. Not just faith, not just the faith, but your faith. Your faith. I'm going to be speaking for a number of weeks on your faith. Because the Bible says we're to live by faith. But this morning, the message is that our faith needs to be a personal faith. I cannot live by your faith. You cannot live by my faith. I must live by my faith. You must live by your faith. I can have faith and I can see faith in my life and I can see the results of faith and I can see the working of faith and I can see what faith produces. The fruit of the Spirit is, one of the fruits of the Spirit is faith. But that's my life. What about your life? Faith. One of our missionaries, one of our missionaries that really has always just always stood out in my mind and been a truly a friend, a good friend, a godly friend, but also an example is Ed Bailey. Because Ed Bailey lived this verse. Ed Bailey. I mean, just every time I talk with Ed, you could see that man lived by his faith. I remember one time the Lord putting upon my heart to call him one morning. And so I called him up and I said, Brother Bailey, I just wanted to talk with you. He says, I know. And I said, what? He says, I was waiting. I said, you're waiting? He says, I've been praying specifically that you would call. He says, well, I've been waiting for you to call. That's living by faith. I mean, in a very real sense. And that's where the Lord wants us to get to. You know, you turn back to Psalm 16 for a minute. Psalm 16. Psalm 16. And we don't have an outside service this morning, so we can just relax and sit under the Word of God for a while this morning. Amen? No one's in a hurry. And if you are, well, too bad. But Psalm 16, because you know what, folks? Hey, listen, the most important thing we could do today is just be still and know that God is God. Amen? So I'm not rushing this morning. Psalm 16 and verse number 1. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Look at Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Over and over again, you know, the psalmist spoke of his trust in God. In fact, in Mark 11, Mark 11 and verse 22, Jesus speaks to his disciples, and he makes a simple statement, and yet how powerful that statement is and how much we need that statement to just resonate in our heart. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And you might say, well, Pastor, that's so simple. And that's, no, I mean, really. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. You see, when it comes to trusting God, it's not only believing God, but it's trusting God. It's having faith in God in every aspect of your life. Every aspect of your life. Wednesday night, as I lay down to sleep, and I sleep usually just right through the night, I wake up a couple of times for physical necessity, but I sleep all the way through the night. I feel for the rest of you, for many of you, that you're waking up every hour. But my sleep is good. But Wednesday night, as I was laying down to sleep, I just prayed and said, Lord, I says, what do you want me to speak Sunday morning? What do you want me to speak Sunday morning? And so I laid down Wednesday night. Thursday morning, 4 o'clock, it was like, bam, lights came on, wide awake. And the Lord says, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. I'd read it earlier, I'd been reading it, but I'd been reading a number of portions of Scripture and say, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? What do you want me to preach? What do you want the people to hear? What do we need from you, Lord? 4 o'clock, just like that. I get up after about 15 minutes, after I made sure that I wasn't dreaming. I get up, went downstairs, and had a good cup of coffee, because you can't get a message without coffee. And not if you're a Baptist anyways, but went downstairs and just sat there and prayed and read this. And the Lord just, I mean, it was just like the Lord delivered it on a silver platter. And I said, all right, thank you, Lord. And since that time, I've just been meditating on it. But it's the just shall live by his faith. His faith. That's the word I want us to get this morning. His faith. My faith. My faith must be real. I mean, my faith must be so real that I see the evidence in my life, in how I live, in how I live. You know, Jesus said there in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22, have faith in God. Have faith in God. So this morning, I want to encourage us in this. Three times in the New Testament, it says the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And yet as Habakkuk's going through life, and Habakkuk has all these questions because everything is turned upside down. Habakkuk says, if I look at it, I can't figure it out. I can't understand. God says, trust me. Have faith in God. The just shall live by his faith. His faith. Did you get that? His faith. Your faith. It must be your faith. A child can't live by the faith of his parents. The parents can't live out the life of a child. You can't live out the life of someone else. But you can live by faith. And what a life-changing thing it is to live by faith. You know, you come to God through Jesus Christ by faith, don't you? Right? It's so, you know, in Acts chapter 16, when Paul is in jail there, and God puts that earthquake and opens up that prison, and the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Trust Jesus Christ. It's the only way to be saved. But that isn't an event that starts and stops there. But the Bible says, now that you begin to trust in Jesus Christ, now that you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, every moment, every day, every part of every day, everything, just like we spoke about last week, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Have faith, trust God, believe God. And so this morning I want us to look my 3 points. First of all, we're going to look at examples. God gives us examples of people who knew what it meant to trust in God, to live by their faith, to live by his faith, to live by faith. Second point, I want to give you some encouragement. Encouragement. Boy, we need encouragement in these days, don't we? Amen? The world is not living by faith. The world doesn't know what it means to live by faith. And the more you watch the world and listen to the world, Satan will use that to cause you to stop living by faith. If you listen to the world right now, your life is going to stop. But if you live by faith, your life is going to keep going. It's going to keep going. And so number two, encouragement. And number three, exhortation. So we're going to have examples, encouragement, and exhortation. All right? So number one, examples. Well, just go to Psalm 18. We were there. But we could look at many examples. You probably thought, oh, he's going to go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, Psalm 18. Hebrews chapter 11, there's a whole chapter. You want examples. Man, you just start going through Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Enoch. By faith. By faith. And it comes down to the prophets. It says, I don't even have time to mention all the prophets. And so many other people that the Bible doesn't include. We're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. People that lived by faith. We could read stories of missionaries. We could read of, you ought to read the autobiography of George Mueller. There's a man that lived by faith. You ought to stop and consider the missionaries we support and how they lived by faith. But in Psalm 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. In whom I will trust. David, You think of all the circumstances in David's life. You just go back and you read the whole account of David's life, everything that took place in David's life. Joseph, you could look at Joseph. And these men were examples. Women were examples. Children were examples. We read of Naaman the leper. And yet there was a little maid, a little girl, that said, there's a prophet. You see, that little girl lived by faith. A little girl can live by faith at a point where she can stand up to Naaman and say, listen, go listen to the prophet. That's faith, folks. But I want you to turn this morning to the book of Acts. I want you to see something in the New Testament, because many times we look as naturally was written by the New Testament men, because the examples that they had were in the Old Testament. But I want you to just consider for a moment the example of a man named Stephen. And I want you to look at his life. I want us to look at his life, because this is in the New Testament. This is in the church. This was a man. This wasn't Peter, Paul, or this wasn't this Stephen. Stephen. And so in chapter 6 of the book of Acts, there's a need that arises, and so they need some men to take care of it. And verse number 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So they said, look among you and look, and it'll be evident in the individual's life. You'll see it in their life. Because as the book of James says, faith should affect our life. Faith is not something that is just floating around in the sky up there. But real faith is to affect and change and transform our life from the very heart to the mind to the soul to the actions of our life. And we can see this in Stephen. So choose you a man, find a man of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Look at verse number 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. And it says 2 things of Stephen. It says a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Boy, I tell you what, if we would meditate on those 2 things, if we would spend our time seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, those 2 things are what I need. It says full of faith. Full of faith. Oh, that I would be full of faith. Not just have a measure of faith, not just have a little bit of faith, but man, that full of faith. In other words, faith that impacts every second, every minute, every moment, and full of the Holy Ghost. Listen, you need faith to be full of the Holy Ghost. You can't be full of the Holy Ghost without faith, because you must believe what God says about the Holy Ghost. But full of faith. And so you read down through it. Now I want you to see 3 things about Stephen's life. Verse 6, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and some others. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And now, chapter 6 and chapter 7, goes into the testimony of this man, Stephen, who was full of faith. And there's 3 things here I want you to see. 3 things. And just, I want to take my time, because I don't want to rush, because I want you to consider these 3 things. First thing it says about Stephen, full of faith and power. Full of faith and power. Now it goes on to say that he did great wonders and miracles among the people. But it says he was full of faith and power. Power. Faith. Full of faith and power. Power that will transform your life. Power that will be seen in your life. Power that when people observe your life, when they see your life, they'll say, wow. Wow. Power in your life. Faith. I was working on my truck yesterday. Thought I'd fix my hood of my truck. Everybody keeps asking every time they see my truck, why is your truck the hood bent up? And you know, you ought to fix the hood of your truck. So yesterday he says, okay, I'm going to fix the hood of my truck. I'm going to take care of that bend in the hood of the truck. So I lift the hood of the truck up and there's a spring-loaded bracket that holds the hood up on a truck. So I said, oh, well, I'll take that spring off, that bracket off, and then I'll put the hood down, and then I'll reshape the hood, and then I'll put the spring mechanism back on, and off we go. Piece of cake. I always say that to Allison, piece of cake. She just laughs. And once again, it was another comical matter. So I take that, I'm taking that bracket off. Well, that bracket has a spring on it that's about 4 inches wide, and it's all loaded. Well, I thought it was attached to the bracket cal. It's not attached to the bracket. It sits on the bracket and it's loaded on the bracket. So I take these two bolts off the top that attach the hood. And when I do, bing, off goes this 4-inch bracket. I mean, it just shot through the air. I closed my eyes because I didn't know where that thing was going. So now I'm looking for a 4-inch bracket, round bracket, that has sprung somewhere into infinity and beyond. It's gone. And I can't find it. I spent 10 minutes looking for this round 4-inch bracket, and I couldn't find it. I'm looking on the engine. I'm looking down around. I'm looking on the ground. I said, I don't know where this thing went. I mean, it went with a force. So finally, after about 10 minutes, I said, Lord, can't do this. Can't find that bracket. Lord, but you know exactly where it is. So Lord, show me. Show me. I'm trusting you. Show me where that bracket is. I kid you not. I had my little flashlight with a good beam on it, Casey. All right. Turn that thing on. The next spot I shone that flashlight, there was that bracket down underneath the battery and the battery casing in this little spot right there. Right there. You know why? Because I trusted God that He would show me. Not that He could, but that He would show me. That led me to trusting God for some more things, because I had to trust God to show me how to get my hand down in there to get the bracket. Now the rest of the story, the rest of the funny story is this. It took that bracket off, flattened the hood. The hood looks nice and flat. Took me an hour to put that bracket back on with the loaded spring. Finally, get that load C-clamp, get that bracket all back on. Great, everything's back. The hood's up like this, nice and smooth here, right? Put the hood down. You know what caused the bump in the hood? The bracket that I took off. As soon as I put the hood down, guess what? Bump comes back. But you know what, Lord? Through all that, you just reaffirmed for me, the just shall live by his faith. So I took the bracket off. So now I'm one bracket truck. And the hood is smooth, but every time I look at my hood, you know what I remember? Live by faith. Live by faith. But look at Stephen, full of faith and power. He saw the evidence of his faith in his life. His life was filled with power. Don't you want a life that's filled with power? Don't you want a life of power? Because look at the next thing. You know, it goes into the next thing, verse number 10. Verse number 10, look at this. We know Acts chapter 1, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. But look at the life of Stephen. It says he was full of faith in the Holy Ghost. And verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Speak of the power in the life of Stephen, that when Stephen spoke of Christ, boy, I tell you what, that gives me goosebumps. It says they weren't able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Boy, if that ought to drive us to our knees and say, Lord, increase my faith. Fill me with faith and fill me with the Spirit that when I speak the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone, that there's such power in my life, such of the Holy Spirit in my life, that when I speak, they listen. When I speak, they can't resist the wisdom and the Spirit. Think about it. Or is this just for Stephen? I dare say it's not, folks. Jesus said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But look down at verse number 15 also, something else. Look at it. His whole life was transformed. Look what it says. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. You see, the difference was seen in his life. The presence of God. The presence of God was so great in his life that really when they saw him, they said, wow. But remember this. They were looking for a man that was good report, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. And God says, not only full of the Holy Ghost, but full of faith, full of faith, full of faith. Because the just shall live by his faith. And so first of all, there's examples throughout Scripture. But second of all, let me give you some encouragement, all right? Go to Hebrews or James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And as you go to James chapter 5, as you turn there, did not Jesus say, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly? Right? Listen. Don't you believe that God wants you to have a full life? A life full of him. Over and over again, Paul writes in the book of Ephesians that we might be filled with the fullness of God. That we might be filled with the fullness of God. Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. By way of encouragement, listen, when it says the just shall live by faith, it's not God's purpose that we live feeble lives. It's not God's purpose that we flounder. It's not God's purpose that we continually fail. It's God's purpose that we live in the power of faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, and this is the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world. What is it? Even our faith. God wants you and I as Christians to live a full life, filled with him, filled with the Spirit, full of faith, in the fullness of God. A life that is abundant, a life that is powerful, a life that is victory. You know, I want to encourage you because the book of James is all about faith in living, living faith. James says, you say you have faith? Show me your faith. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Show me your faith. Let it be seen in the way that we live. Let it be seen in the activities of our life. Where's your faith? And so he writes about faith, and you come down to chapter 5, and he's getting into prayer, and he's getting into prayer for others and praying for others. And he says, the prayer of faith. Couldn't find it because I wasn't there. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Verse 16, confess your faults one another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then look what it says about Elijah. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And look what it says. And he prayed. And he prayed. But you know, when you put it in the context of James, why is James focusing on Elijah? Because Elijah's prayer was a prayer of faith. Look at Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain. Elijah prayed and it rained. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But Elijah was a man of faith. You read the book of Elijah. No, you read 1 Kings. You read about the life of Elijah. The life of Elijah. You read the faith of Elijah. And our prayer life, folks, needs to be one of faith. Our prayer life needs to be faith. Whatsoever ye ask in faith, believing, ye shall receive. Whatsoever ye ask in faith, believing, ye shall receive. But here's where I want to encourage you. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. Second Kings chapter 2. Second Kings chapter 2. So Elijah was a man of faith. Elijah prayed. And he had a servant, another prophet, a younger prophet, that followed him, watched him, saw him, learned from him. Other prophets as well. But other prophets, other young men, didn't catch what Elisha caught. They didn't have the faith that Elisha had. And so Elisha has spent all this time with Elijah, followed him, watched, observed, learned, saw the faith of Elijah, saw the power of God of Elijah, saw the prayer of Elijah, saw the reality of a living faith where the just shall live by his faith. And now Elijah is going to be taken up in the clouds. He's going to be taken up in a whirlwind. And the other prophets, they're in a world not full of faith. But look at verse number 9. And it came to pass when we were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. Does not God tell us that? Ask. Ask. Exactly. Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Elisha says, I want more. Not for selfish reasons. Asking for faith is not for selfish reasons, for the glory of God in our lives. He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Elijah says, wow, you asked for something. Elijah says, I don't know. This is difficult. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Elisha saw it, and he was just astounded, because he knew in that moment when he saw Elijah go up, that he knew that he had what he asked for. Elijah said, if you see me go up, God's going to give you what you asked for. And he saw it. So look at what happens. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Guess what? Elijah believed God. Elisha trusted God. Elijah was assured of God, and Elijah lived by his faith. You know, Elisha could have stepped back and said, I don't know, I saw it, but I don't know if I really believe it. I don't know. But Elisha didn't. Elisha rent his clothes. He took up the mantle, and he smote the waters, and he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Fully expecting by faith that God would do what God said he would do. Turn over to the book of Joshua. Joshua. Oh, where is it? Where is it? Doug, you know where it is. Give me come on, Doug. Help me out. 14. Joshua chapter 14. I know you know this verse. Brother, I know you know this verse. You know you know this verse. I know you know this verse. And you know I know you know this verse. Joshua chapter 14. Now listen, Joshua and Caleb, right? They go into land with the rest of the spies. God's told him, go in and check out the land and see that it's just as I told you. And they go back, and the other spies come back, and some men don't have faith. They didn't have faith. They didn't believe God. Well, they saw the land, but they didn't believe God was able to give it to them. Verse 7, chapter 14. 40 years old was I when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. That's faith, folks. Faith. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. It was in my heart. Caleb says, it was in my heart. And I followed the Lord. I believed God. I followed him. I obeyed him. Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now I am this day 85 years old. So 45 years later, 45 years later, Caleb says, all right, here it is. I believed God. No matter what the rest of the world did, I trusted God. I followed God. Here it is 45 years later. Verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength was then, even so is not my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in the day that how the Anakims were there, and cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And he says, you know what? I believed God back then. I followed God. Didn't let the faithless ones hinder me or stop me or deter me. I trusted God. I followed God. For 45 years, I've been trusting God, following God. Give me that mountain. That's not arrogance, folks. That's not pride. That's faith. Give me that mountain. And so, folks, listen. The Lord wants our faith to change our lives. He wants our faith to transform us to where we live not in futility, not in failure, not floundering, but we live by faith. So, number two, there's encouragement. There's encouragement. You look at examples. You look at the scripture. You look at what God says. Well, I tell you, you'll be encouraged. But now here comes the exhortation. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Once again, the exhortation is by way of another example, another man, it's Paul. And the exhortation is this, simply this. Where's your faith? Where's my faith? Because we say we have faith. We say we believe God. We say we trust God. But really, where is it? Where is it? Acts chapter 27. Without going into all the details, Paul's on the ship. The ship is sinking. Everybody's scared. No one's believing God. And Paul stands up and says, wherefore, sirs, in verse 25, be of good cheer. And he says, for one reason, I believe God. I believe God. There's Paul's faith. A faith that causes him to be able to stand up in a ship, in a storm, and the rest of these adult, mature seamen who know all about the ship and everything else, but don't have faith. And Paul says, be of good cheer. I believe God. You know, the Bible says over in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 10 and verse 8, I believe it is, Luke chapter 10 and verse 8. No. 18 and verse 8. Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 8. It starts off with, he spake a parable unto them. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. But then in verse 8, he comes down to this. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find... Well, okay, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? But let's really just bring that down into a challenge, an exhortation to you and me. I was almost going to say, forget when the Son of Man cometh. I don't mean it that way. I mean right now, as the Lord looks down upon your life, as the Lord looks at you right now, just as he spoke to Habakkuk, Habakkuk says, I'm going to stand here on this mountain. I'm going to wait to hear from the Lord. And when the Lord shall reprove me, I'll answer. And the Lord says to Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. So stop and allow God to just speak to you this morning. Not me, but God. What would the Lord say to you about your faith? What does the Lord say to me about my faith? My faith. I mean, just stop and consider. Do you really believe and trust God? That He can transform your life. That He can take the things in your life that are not righteous, not just, not pure, and deliver you from them and give you the fruit of the Spirit. Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that you can be full of the Spirit? Do we really believe? No, not do we. Do you really believe that today, you could be full of faith and full of the Spirit? Jesus said, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. God says, be filled with the Spirit. But do you really believe it? I mean, really believe it. Do you really believe that God orders your steps? Not that He can order your steps. We know He can. We know He can fill us with the Spirit. We know He can order our steps. We know He can sanctify us through there. We know He can. We know, and we say it and we claim it. There is nothing too hard for God. But do we believe it in reality? Do I believe that this day God is ordering my steps? The good steps, the steps of a good man, are ordered by the Lord. That means I must believe that the steps, the path, when I drive down that road and there's a detour, when I drive down that road and there's someone slow in front of me, that's God. That's God slowing down my steps. Do I have to understand why? No, but I need to trust God that He put that slowpoke in front of me that's doing 25 on 395. Because God knows His way is perfect. And I don't have to see all the reasons and all the details, but I do need to trust God. In all things, do we really believe? Do you really believe God when He says, sanctify them through thy truth? I mean, come on now. Do you really believe God that if you study this book, you read this book and this book alone will change your life? It will. This book is powerful. It's quick and powerful. It's alive. The words are spirit and life. Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that you can pray? God will answer. Do you really believe that you can pray? God will answer. Do you really believe that my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? I'll tell you what I do. I mean, I do. Not only personally, but for this church. Once again, I'll say it again. Once again, the Lord showed it. FedEx envelope on the back step of that church. God providing. When we didn't take an offering one week, God put the offering in the FedEx envelope on the back step of my office. That's God. That's what, because God says, I will. He said in Malachi, try me, prove me. Folks, God wants us to prove that He's real by trusting Him. By trusting Him. Go to Luke chapter 17. One last verse. One last verse. Here's what we need, folks. We need the Lord to stir our hearts up. To have a desire, a seeking, a longing, a craving, a prayer. And not to let go, but to just cry unto God and say, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you answer. And here's what our prayer needs to be. Luke chapter 17, verse number 5. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. If there's one thing I've seen in the last 3 months, it's that the devil has done everything to hinder Christians from believing and trusting God. The world is living in fear, not faith. Politics is running by fear, not faith. Don't be fooled. The world is running by fear, not by faith. But God says to Habakkuk personally, Habakkuk says, I will stand here and I will wait to hear what God says to me. You know what God says to Pastor Meter? Pastor Meter, don't look around. Don't look at anybody else. Pastor Meter, you listen to me. Pastor Meter, you listen to me. The just shall live by his faith. By his faith. So how's your faith this morning? How's your faith this morning? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Say, Lord, increase my faith. My faith. Let's pray.